And so I want to look today at Proverbs chapter 3. We'll be looking at a few verses here. Proverbs chapter 3 has some of my favorite scripture in it, and that would be in the first part of the chapter. We're going to look, though, at this further down in chapter 3. Thankful for his presence this morning. Thankful for how I can sense that he's pleased when we give him thanks. I think that if we can just somehow be thankful people, thank him for what he's done and what he's doing, he'll be happy. Proverbs chapter 3. I want to start at verse 21. If you're looking at this chapter, though, just to give us a little bit of context, and it's written. It keeps saying, "My son, my son," and it's written as someone, a mom or a dad. I believe this was a mother here. I'm not studied up enough on it to say for sure, but it's written to a son. And so think about these words this morning as if someone is speaking to you as a father, a mother, someone that's sharing these words and saying, this is what you can do to be happy. This is what you can do to be safe. This is what you can do to sleep well. And so in context here, in verse 6, if you were to look there, it says, the advice that's given there says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In everything that you do, the pathways that you take, the places you go, the words you say, in all your ways, make sure that you acknowledge him. Yes. That's the advice that's coming to us as sons and daughters this morning. Let's, every place that we go, everything that we do, let's let it acknowledge him. We could speak about just that this morning, because there's a lot of things that we get distracted and we begin to acknowledge someone else, or we begin to acknowledge ourselves, or we begin to acknowledge something else. Let's just get in the habit of acknowledging him first in everything. You know what? He's the one that gave me the traveling mercies. He's the one that gave me the touch and the help. He's the one that gave me the strength. He's the one that gave me the knowledge to know how to do that. Start pulling ourselves out of the picture a little bit. I think sometimes we just get stuck on ourselves. Well, I was able to do that. Man, I was strong enough to do this, and I was smart enough to do that, and I had enough money to pull this off. Lord, help us not to be that way, because that is a dangerous place to be. Be too focused on ourselves. So that's the thing we see in verse 6. Verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So here's some more advice. It says, don't be wise in your own eyes. This kind of piggybacks right off of that, because if we're wise in our own eyes, then we think that we're the ones that figured it out. We're the know-it-all. We're the one that knows how to do it, and we're focused. And it says, don't be that way. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Instead, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Have some respect for God and turn away from the wrong. So that's the advice there. If you look at verse 11, the advice here is, don't be weary of the Lord's chastening. If the Lord's getting after you, if the Lord has spoken very direct and maybe got after your case, maybe whooped you a little bit, don't be tired of that. Learn from it. Understand that it's because there's a God that loves you is why he would even do that. So the advice here is, don't be tired or weary of the Lord's getting after us, the chastening. Appreciate that. Say, God, thank you that you care enough about me to get after me a little bit. I was going the wrong way. I was saying the wrong things. Thank you for your chastening. Don't get tired of that. If you were to look at verse 13, you would just see some wisdom here that says, happy is the one who finds wisdom. This is kind of the key for one of the chapters, or basically for the whole book of Proverbs. But happy You want to be happy? Find some wisdom. You want to be happy? Have wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Seek after wisdom. There's a lot of words there about wisdom in this chapter. So that's just a little bit of context. It's just the heart of a parent flowing out to the child and saying, if you'll do this, this is the right way. This is what is good. And so we see that heart of the parent this morning. Let's read in through chapter 3, verse starting at verse 21 through 26. In this section of Scripture, I think the focus is on sweet sleep. How many of you like to have sweet sleep? Sounds beautiful, right? Yeah. They say sweet sleep like a baby, but I don't like that word because most babies I know don't sleep very good. They wake up and they need somebody to change them. They wake up and they need to eat. But when they are sleeping, I mean, they could be like all passed out. No care in the world at all. So they can sleep pretty good sometimes. But I think where that comes from is a baby, when they sleep, they're not worried about, well, am I going to have some food when I wake up? No, they're pretty sure that mom, dad's going to have some food there. They're not normally worried that, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find work today. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay my rent. I don't know if the car is going to run to town and back. I mean, you just take out all the things that little babies aren't worried about. Pretty much they don't have anything to worry about. And so the idea is that with the word sleep like a baby is that we would sleep without those cares, right? And so this few verses here is about sweet sleep. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Now, what is he talking about here? He's going to answer that. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So what are we? He says, don't let go of. Don't let them leave your eyes. And that's the sound wisdom and discretion. Wisdom, if we were to define that, is a God-given and God-centered discernment regarding the things in life. So wisdom is the ability that God gives us to know the difference between right and wrong. Should I say this or should I say that? Should I go here or should I go there? Should I anything? That's wisdom from God, and to know how to do that, to be able to tell the difference. Discretion is, on the other hand, is the quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or without revealing private information. That's what discretion is. So discretion is being able to act in a way and speak in a way that we don't cause offense to people. That would do. If somebody has discretion, we would say they know how to say the right things. They know how to not tick people off. They know how to not offend people. So we can kind of understand that, but what about the flip side? We can understand that real well. Someone that does not have discretion. Every time it seems like they offend somebody. Seems like they say the wrong thing in the wrong way. And so discretion is the ability to be able to speak as not to offend someone or to without revealing private information. That's another interesting thing to think about, right? Because some people, maybe they're not offending, but every time they open their mouth, they're talking about something that they're giving too much information, right? Personal information, especially. So a person that has discretion is able to navigate a conversation without spilling the important stuff, right? Wow, that's a pretty big definition for that word. But so it says here, you should hold on to that, right? Hold on to discretion. Hold on to wisdom. Verse 22, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. So this wisdom and discretion, it's going to be a good thing in our life, right? It's going to be the thing that satisfies, the thing that gives us grace and help. Verse 23, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Interesting. Now, goes on and says, if you have these things, you're going to have the ability to walk safely and not stumble. Always think about the flip side. Think about the other side. If you don't have wisdom and you don't have discretion, you're going to stumble and you're going to not be in a safe place. Why? Because you're not making the right choices and you're not saying the right things. Of course you're going to get in trouble. There's going to be somebody that's going to be mad at you for sure. For sure. And you're easily going to make a mistake there. So if we have discretion, if we can hold on to wisdom, then it brings safety to our life and stability to our walk. Verse 24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. So not only will we have safety with where we walk and not be tripping up all the time, but when we lie down, we won't be afraid. And our sleep will be sweet. So you want to have good sleep, you want to have be in a safe place, ask God for wisdom. Ask God for discretion. I think wisdom, sometimes in discretion, we know what we should be doing, but we kind of fail on this discretion part. We don't really make the right choice. We just go ahead and say it anyway. Or we go ahead and do it anyway. So ask God for that. I was thinking about, I think about my own life, because before I was serving the Lord, I made a lot of wrong choices and I did a lot of wrong things. And the guilt and the worrying about who was after me and the worrying about how I was going to deal with tomorrow kept me awake. I couldn't sleep. And so I thank the Lord for peace and the ability to sleep sweetly. I have a story that I ran across here. It talks about, that has to do with this, you know, living wisely and making the right choices. The story is there was a St. Patrick back in Ireland. This is way back. I don't know what the years were. But he began to travel throughout Ireland. And at that time, Ireland was a place of like family clans. And they didn't get along with each other. So there was this community over here, and then over this way, far away, there was another community. And they were always fighting. Kind of like, we're not going to say what it's like, right? Maybe there's still some of that going on in some of our communities, right? Some of it in jest, where we joke about it, but some of it for real, right? And so that was the case. So he would travel and he would share Jesus over here, and then he would go over to this next community that didn't get along with this community. I mean, they were at war with each other. And he would be telling them about Jesus. And you can imagine that there would be people that wouldn't like him because he's over here with their enemies and those kinds of things. And one of the things that they noticed about this guy is that he could sleep anywhere very well. You see, they had a problem because of the fighting and not knowing who was going to show up and fight with you in the night or in the morning, or not knowing what these people, you know how they slept? They drank until they could sleep. That's how they slept. Sounds familiar, right? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of us have been there? I have been there in my life when I couldn't sleep, so I would use something to help me to sleep. And that's where they were at. And they began to notice the difference of this man, that he wasn't like that. He didn't have to get drunk to go to sleep at night. He didn't have to do that. He could just sleep peacefully. And they began to ask him and said, How come you're like that? And he says, because God gives me the ability to sleep. with wisdom, with discernment, comes sweet sleep. Thank the Lord for that this morning. I'm taking too long here. I need to move faster. Verse 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Now here's some more advice for us today. Do not be afraid of the sudden fear. What's sudden fear? What do you think is the difference between sudden fear and not sudden fear? Long term, I guess the opposite of sudden fear would be fear that we know it's a problem, right? It's something we kind of know about already. We already know that it's dangerous, right? We already know that it's a problem. Sudden fear is fear that all of a sudden is there. I think for me, this is like when you get that text message and you're like, oh. How many of you got one of those texts before? Yeah. Oh, I hate those, right? What about somebody starts to tell you a story and all of a sudden you realize what's happening in the story, that something bad's going on. Like something bad happened. My heart just stopped. As sudden fear. It could be maybe when you walk into somebody's backyard and all of a sudden you realize that there's a big dog back there that wasn't chained up. That's sudden fear right there too, huh? I was like, oh no, run for your life, right? If you're the mailman that walks back there, or the ambulance driver that walks in there. And it says, don't be afraid of the sudden fear. Did you know that if you are afraid of everything that can make you afraid, if you let all those sudden fears control your life, you're not going to be able to function right. You're going to live your life bouncing from being afraid of this to afraid of this to afraid of that your whole life or your whole day. Well, I can't do that because, and I can't do this because, oh, did you hear about that? I'm just telling you, like, the wisdom here is don't let sudden fear control our life. I think that if we go down that road of beginning to allow that, the devil will have something there for us all the time. You'll be going, every little bit. And you won't be able to function because it's, and I'm not, I don't want to make fun of somebody that does that. But that's how I think about it, right? Because if you do that, that's okay, I guess. Just don't let it ruin your life. Go, Jesus, help him and move on. And don't focus on it, because if you focus on that, pretty soon you're going to be, your whole life is going to be run by the sudden fear. And it says now in the next part of verse 25 is neither or also don't be afraid of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. This is wisdom. Think about the parent that's talking to their child. Is don't be afraid of or scared of the fact that the wicked are in trouble. This one caught me a little bit as I was thinking about it. I thought, that's interesting, because the wisdom here is just because someone is in trouble, especially the wicked, don't allow that to change how we do our life, because the idea is there. It's expected if you make wrong choices and if you don't have wisdom, things are going to go sideways. Now, it doesn't mean we don't pray for them, we don't try to help, but don't let that fear control your life of what is happening to those around us, especially those that are not serving the Lord. Verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. In other words, the advice this morning is, instead of being afraid of all those things, instead of not being able to sleep at night, instead of having all of these problems, Instead, let the Lord be your confidence. In other words, have some faith in Him that He's got your life under control, that He knows what's happening, and that He hasn't forgotten all about you. Have some confidence in Him. And also that He has the ability to make sure your foot doesn't slip. I know there's people, and I could even drift into this category sometimes, that feel like, well, I know this is what God says to do, and I know that this is what I feel like He wants me to do, but then I'm over here like just very carefully stepping forward. I don't know, you know, is this what you want, God? Well, maybe not. Well, maybe He wants to. We kind of try it a little bit like it's thin ice or something. Have some confidence that if God says that He's going to do this for you, or if that He says He's going to help in this, or if that He says He's taking care of a problem, have some confidence and step out on it. Because He's the one that's holding our foot from slipping. So you see the wisdom of the parent this morning. They kind of paint the picture of, well, so-and-so, it's real bad over in their family. And this is happening over there. All the other things that we're worried about. He says, don't let those things run your life. Don't let those things control your decisions. Instead, have confidence in the one that holds your foot to the path. He has the ability to keep us from slipping. And when He says step, let's step. Let's move forward. I had two more sections that we were going to look at. Well, we're going to stop there because it took me way too long on the first one. And so maybe I can preach two more sermons out of this. But this chapter is very good. If you read through there, let the Lord speak to us as we read through Proverbs and in His Word in general. But it talks about so many different things. The next section, just so you know, let me get this for you here. The next one has to do with doing good to our neighbors. And that is verse 27 to 30. Lord, help us there, right? To who's our neighbor, and then to do good to them. And treat them the way that they ought to be treated. Some good stuff in there. Then 31 to the end of the chapter, 31 through 35, has to do with the curse of the wicked. I just want to share this because I wanted to touch on this today. I think the Lord spoke to me in it. And that is verse 33 of chapter 3, verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but He blesseth the habitation of the just. This stood out to me today because I thought there's some that say you can live however you want. You can act however you want. You can live like the devil and be okay. And there's a lot of scriptures that address those things, but then this one stood out to me today. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. We don't like curses and we like blessings, right? On everyone. There ain't nobody here that wants to be cursed. And yet it says, in the house of the wicked, when we're doing things that we know that we should not do, and we're intentionally bringing wickedness into our house, the scripture says that that house is cursed. We need to be careful what we're allowing in our families and in our homes and in our lives. The second thing is, the second part of that verse is he blesseth the habitation of the just. What's the habitation of the just? That's the house of the person that's doing the right things, that's obeying God. The blessing is upon it. Lord, help us this morning to be careful. We think that just because we've done something and we've, you know, look a certain way or did a certain thing, that everything's okay. Did you know that there's very likely some homes that have the curse of the Lord upon them because they are allowing wickedness to be in their home? Did you know that there is homes that could have the blessing of God if they would just turn from those wicked ways and allow His blessing to be in their home? If you get a chance today, go home and read all of chapter 3 of Proverbs. It would be beneficial for us. Loretta, would you read chapter 3? Let's read the ones that we read today. So chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. And then if you want to read verse 33, that would be good as well. Oh, yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Those were
6, 7, 11, 13.
That's right. Go ahead.
Proverbs 3, 6. Klan hidden nak of thoughts, what it up it a barkuns and go yat echo the hunt echo near Farto. Shillach on sat adonins and the born he densen, ado do yadat ahibits a da holia. 11 gain at it. She yet in a lane, he born a heat a hushka, yinan tin it, ado duns, and in dug a has done, the nando glosco, tado yil coho. 13 the ne be hotzani, y guinea yai, ado the ne a giddy teeny tios day, but hojo. 21 she yet in a lane, eh, yo a do ar. Lago, da kugi at ego, hotza in dayat ehi, ado doyat ehi. Nelpeho zenga be a da holia. Ako, ni sezini e yehinado, ado yo nejoni, aze del jay, nahonelendo. Ako inda hasego at kingo, yinarko do ni trata. Nitego do nanzitado, a ani. Ntego ayot ego shakango ishwashta. Tado kut eelene ye haleko ado dene doya da shoni atabede dortil. Baholjizgo tado nonzade hala boholnehi bazin lido akonikedo nitako ayosendo. 33 The net a hoyani is it lini da beetle, de doya da hojiliani gi eht o ya da hayata hado sink.
Thank you.
Yes. The novel can't read the whole thing in chapter 3.
Thank the Lord for his word this morning that will speak to our hearts. We're not, you know, we'd be fooling ourselves to think that we don't need wisdom from God, that we can somehow make a right choice without Him. He's freely given us now the ability to read this and to listen to it and to understand. These are the keys to happiness. These are the keys to the help that we need to make the right choices. It's right here. Lord, help us to pay attention and to listen to it. Lord, help me to not just think that I'm somehow okay, that I know what to do, but to always seek for His wisdom, His understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for Your faithfulness to meet with us, for Your help. Lord, we're standing in need of You. We need Your wisdom. We need Your understanding. Lord, we're living in a world that's full of decisions that have to be made. What's right and what's wrong? Lord, we want your blessings upon our house and upon our families. Lord, help us today to think on these things, and that you would continue to move in our hearts and bring it to our remembrance, that we would think about it and that we would listen to it, that it wouldn't just go in one ear and out the other. We love you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.